in Eric Burns' seminal work, Games People Play, he explores all the different games that people play with one another, these transactions that people have between one another relationally. Some of them are harmless games, some of them are very destructive. The origin of all those games is the one that we all kind of were born into, and that is mine is better. As we read through the Bible, there is kind of this mine is better thing that you pick up on. We see it today with my ethnicity is better or superior, or my religion is better or superior. And we kind of have an antidote to that in our text where Paul has to remind Timothy, who's another pastor, that God wants everyone, all people, to come to the knowledge of God's truth, and that this God is not reduced to our petty tribal distinctives. And you see this movement, I think, too, in the Bible in general. It doesn't really start out that way. When Abraham is chosen, God says that in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. But then you have this sense, no, this is the God of Abraham. This is the God of Jacob and Isaac. And this is the God of Israel. And our God is not like the other gods. But if our God is just our tribe's God, then it is like all the other gods. If our God is only concerned about certain people and only revealing God's truth to certain areas of the world, then we really have a puny God. And so, theology, when we talk about God, we shouldn't anthropomorphize God. We shouldn't talk about God in just our human understanding, because any explanation of God is really, it falls infinitely short of who God is. And so we have this narrative, I think, going on right now in the United States that we are a Christian nation and that we that our nation was divinely ordained when the Puritans and the Pilgrims came here. And you have this narrative that I think really is a destructive one. It's kind of like mine is better. And it's really a false gospel that we have going on. We are experiencing this now with the tragic killing and death of Charlie Kirk. And it seems like we're even more afraid to talk about it, talk about what the issues are, lest we engage in the game, mine is better. My idea is superior. I think what our scripture is challenging us to do is to rethink that narrative of who God is and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We were looking at a church recently that's a Lutheran church, and on their website, they said, "We follow Luther." I thought, that falls infinitely short of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Years ago, I lived in Kansas. This is where I served a church for 3.5 years, and our daughter was 5 years old, and we had just moved there, and we had a big, big yard. And my kids were asking us to get a dog. And so My daughter Natalie had this book of dogs, just different pictures, different breeds. And she opened it and she said, "I want this one." And it was a yellow lab. And I said, "Well, we're going to go to a rescue because there's a lot of dogs that need a home. So we'll see about that." And I thought, "I'm hoping we can find one." And as we drove into the parking lot, we drove right next to the fence. We parked right next to the fence. And as we were walking to the front door, one dog greeted us. And it was a yellow lab, wagging its tail, looking at my three children. And she said, "That's it." And of course, I said, "Well, let's wait. Maybe there's other yellow labs. We want to get the one that's the best fit for our family." And so we went in there, and there were two chocolate labs. They didn't meet the requirement. And it turned out that this dog was 3 years old, and the rescue worker says, "You should know some things about Ginger. You should keep calling her Ginger because she knows her name. She was trained as a bird dog, so she was trained to hunt." And the owner was a really bad person. The owner had shot her in the ear and in the back with a shotgun, and that's why Ginger had her ear was still pretty deeply wounded, as well as her back. And so we thought, wow, it sounds like a bad owner. But we took her home, and she loved the kids. She loved to play with the kids. She loved all people except men. She didn't really like men. And I thought, well, it's probably because of the owner. It sounds like a pretty nasty guy. But she learned to like me. Her nickname was Houdini because no matter what I did to the kennel, she found a way to get out of it. I had to put a wired fence on the floor of it so she wouldn't dig under. And then every time I would repair it with a higher gauge wire, she would use her nose as a crowbar and work her
Wow.
way through it and would get out. But she was a great dog. When we were about to move, we had to get different quotes for movers, and the denomination had two companies that they worked with, so we were going to get two bids. The first bid came through a man who came by, and I said, "When you come, I'm going to put the dog in the garage because she doesn't like men. She's going to bark, she's going to growl, but I've never seen her be aggressive." And he said, "Okay." So I put her in there. We walked around as we went through the garage when he was wanting to look at our stuff. I took her out and just walked around the house, and everything was fine. The second man who came for the second bid, same thing. I said, I'm going to take care of the dog because she doesn't like men. I can't explain why. And he says, "No, don't do that. I love dogs." He said, "I have three dogs of my own." And I said, "No, really, you don't understand. Ginger hate, I didn't say Ginger, but I said the dog hates men." He said, "No, I insist." So I said, "Okay." And so we went through the house, and we went through the garage, and I left Ginger there. And as he went under the garage, she walked up to him quietly, put her face on his thigh like this, and looked up at him. He looked down at her, and he said, "Ginger?" And I said, "How do you know her name?" He said, "This was my dog." And so I brought the kids out. I'm like, we found the bad man, the owner. And so he started answering all of our questions. She actually she was trained as a bird dog, but she would get always get out of the kennel. And she got hit by a car when she got out of the kennel. And as she got out of the kennel, she ripped her ear and her back on the fencing and the wire the wiring that to mend the fences. And then he said that she loved his kids. She loved her, which was, I mean, she loved him, which was totally apparent. But he couldn't explain why She didn't like men in general. And so here we had this false narrative, actually, about this man, the owner, the origin. And we didn't really know how good and kind and loving the master really was until we met the master. And I think that is who Jesus is. As we look through scripture, we meet the master. And that's the best narrative. That's the best way, through this personalized encounter, through this relationship that we have, through this, what Paul calls a mediator.